Bit of the theme today, John chapter 6. Difficult to trust God sometimes. Difficult to trust what you can't see. But what makes it more difficult is what you can see is untrustworthy. John chapter 6, verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "As I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, heaven and earth will pass away, but these words will not. And Lord, we are not concerned with the things of this world this morning because we have an anchor, we have a rock, we have a fortress, we have a shield, we have a buckler that we can't see, but we sure do trust him. And we need more help this morning. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Lord, increase our faith this morning through your word. You said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Help us to preach it and hear it the way you would have us, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just preach down through this wonderful, wonderful text. It says in verse 15, when therefore Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again, into a mountain, himself alone. It'll say in another place that as he was wont. Don't write a new Bible. Just look it up. It means accustomed to. It means habitual. So habitual for him to want to get apart alone that Judas knew exactly where to find him. I wonder if your kids know exactly where to find you when it's quiet time. If Jesus Christ in his humanity needed to get alone with his Father, how much more we that are disciples of Jesus Christ. They used to call it the quiet time. They used to call it the secret place of the Most High. We need time alone. But alone needs some clarification. Take your Bibles and turn to John 16. Because alone, in this instance, is not absence of another. John 16 and verse 32. I like that cooing. That's nice. Just not too much. That's isn't that beautiful? Behold, I bet you they was cooing when Jesus was preaching, don't you think? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own and shall leave me alone. A lot of times Peter gets the hit for denying him, but they all did. And yet I am not alone, Jesus speaking, but the Father is with me. Alone in this context is alone with God. Listen, alone is relationship building time, be it with God or be it with man. Be it with a spouse, be it with a mom and her new baby, that bonding time, that alone time, courting couples. You say, you let them be alone? Well, not exactly physically alone, but I'm not sitting on their lap needing to hear every word they say. Why? Because that's the building time. You say, well, what if they say something they shouldn't say? Or what if they say something they should say? What if they're trustworthy and I'm making like they're not trustworthy? Thank you, Jason. Alone time is, in any relationship, is building time. And can I say that alone time with God, and I realize mechanical obedience is better than disobedience, and I realize that duty is better than is not as good as delight, but it shouldn't, quiet time with God, alone with God, shouldn't be a duty that I must adhere to. It ought to be a delight that I desire. I know how we get, Pastor Folks said, read the Bible, you're not going to make it. I got to get up. I got to read the Bible. I got to be alone with God. And that's all true. But have you ever stopped to consider this, that God wants to be alone with you? That'll help you get your sorry ecclesiastical posterior out of bed. He rose from the dead. We can't get out of bed. And the next time you want to hit that snooze, you're giving into the flesh before your feet even hit the floor. Just think, I know I got to get up and be alone with God. He wants to be alone with you. That'll motivate you. Alone time is building time. I'll be honest, I'm getting there, but I don't live for my grandchildren the way my wife does. These grandchildren come along and I'm like, what's wrong with me, Am not I better to thee than 22 grandchildren? You better not answer. And when it first started, we had a rash, I think there was 10 of them born in 1 year. And it's Friday and it's, oh boy, quiet Friday night, little Jeopardy, little Andy Griffith, little Wheel of Fortune. Going to be nice, and I'll get home and she'll just tell me, not ask me. Oh yeah, they're dropping the kids off tonight. We're going to keep them overnight. They're going out on a date. And at first it used to take me back a little bit, really. But as time grew on, and they started to grow on me, I realized what a win-win-win situation it is. Because I'll tell you what thrills me is, number one, that my son-in-laws, they want to get alone with my daughters. Because that's growing time. Listen, don't let your children come between you and your spouse. I've seen women worship their babies. And I don't mean infant babies. I mean their 14-year-old babies. Listen, spouses, you need time alone. So I win in that my son-in-laws, they are growing their relationship because they got a lot that they're facing, and it gives them time alone. Number two, I get to see the grandkids. And it's really growing on me. I'm not real good with infants. That's why I still haven't carted Aaron and Yalisa's baby around. I got this little cough, and I'm kind of using that as an excuse. I just don't have that bedside manner that Pastor Folk has, But I get to see the grandkids. Little Jesse, 3 years old. 3 years old? Can I brag? He's sitting at... Mary and Jesse just got back on some world trip they took, Cola was watching the kids, and she brought him back for a couple days. And Jesse, 3 years old, sitting there eating breakfast with my wife, and he looks at my wife. My wife, as you won't know, she was away again in Florida, this time with her mother and sisters. And Jesse looks up at her in the middle of a cereal and says, so how was your time with Grandma? You can't get that in the lottery, friends. That's rich. So it's a win-win-win. My son-in-laws are getting quiet time with their wives, alone time building. We are building with these grandchildren, and then I get to send them home when it's all over. When's the last time you really got alone with God? And alone with the phone is not alone. If Jesus needed to get alone, as was wont, as was habitual, I need to get alone with my Father, how much more we? Husbands, let me say this, especially you young fathers. You need to guard not only your mornings, not only your quiet times. You got double duty. You need to guard your wife's quiet time. You need to up on a Saturday morning. I know you got to cut the grass and fix the car and all that, but that woman needs a break. Can we talk practical this morning? And realize it's to come back to you, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to go. We're going to go, and you're going to just, and I'm taking your phone with you, with me, and you're going to have some quiet time with God. And you know who that's for? It's for you. And it's for God, and it's for her. Jesus needed to get alone, and when them little crumb snatchers, and she's up nursing half the night, every once in a while he said, you need to get alone. Instead of just, you need to clean the house, and you need to clean up, and you need to cook this dinner, you need to get alone. Guard her quiet time. Mark chapter 6. He got alone. This is the companion verse to this text that we're reading. It's in three Gospels. Mark 6, 45. So let me tell you how this thing's supposed to work. Right now you men should be saying, you know what? I got a little window of time, Tuesday night or Thursday morning or next Saturday. I'm going to commit right now. I'm going to take those kids for a while. Wouldn't that be something to act on what we hear instead of saying, that was a good message? Amen. All right. 6:45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So he gives these instructions. And then he kind of seemingly disappears and goes and does what he's doing. And they move forward based on his instructions. And what's remarkable is he didn't say, and I'll come with you. He didn't say, and I'll meet you over there. He just said, an open-ended instruction, get in the ship and start over that way, with no promise of an outcome. Now, I got to thinking, why did they so readily obey? No questions. No questions asked. I think they trusted him for an unclear future based on his faithfulness in their past. The God-man just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. I think they're still reeling in amazement. What if it was you or I distributing that bread? Can you imagine? We got a little lad's victuals here, and this is all we have. And your hands are touching that miracle, and you're seeing God, and then you're gathering up the fragments, and everybody's full, and the last crumb is eaten, and everybody's satisfied, and everybody's full, and God's done a great work. You said, now I want you to go over there. You think you're going to say, why? No, based on what he just did? Okay. When you can't see his hand in the future, look at his hand in the past. Draw faith for your future from his faithfulness to you in the past. Has he taken care of you up to here? Is he going to complete his work? You got food? You got raiment? You got a lot of your needs? You got most of your wants? You got all the trimmings? He'll take care of us tomorrow. Whether a Chinese balloon is flying over the United States and taking pictures, and whether Humpty Dumpty's in the White House or whoever it is, he will take care of you. He wants to prove you while you prove him to grow you and I for his work. And sometimes we have to draw our faith from the past because we can't see in front of us. Where does he want us to go? What does he want us to do? What are we supposed to do when we get there? What if there's a storm? Hey, men, you're asking questions. Look what he did up to here. Amen. Amen. And there's steps of faith in this process. If you're going to move forward. Now, go to, back to John 6. You know, we were just singing at the cross, I'll abide. You ever stop to think about a cross? We're singing because, oh, yeah, that's where we got saved, at the cross. I'm just going to hang there. No pun intended. John 6:15. When Jesus there perceived they would come and take him by force to make a king, he departed again into a what? So which direction he going? Up. And when even was now come, his disciples went. Which direction did they go? He's going up. We're going down. Acts chapter 1. Sound familiar? Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto the Jerusalem from the mount, which is called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Here again, he's going up, they're going down. John chapter 6, he's going up, they're going down. Why does it have to be that way? Back to John 6. And that's not all. I want to follow God. I want to do what he says. What's my first step up? Down. I like what Paul Hamilton said. Weakness is an asset in this game. Because his strength is made perfect in weakness.
That's right. Good preacher.
John 6:17. Not only do they go down and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now, say it, dark. And he was not come unto them. You ever feel that way? If that doesn't speak of the day and age in which we live, I don't know what does. Dark, and where is God? It's a new pit, lower pit of depravity every day. It's dark, and where is Jesus? Dark, and he hasn't come, and it's only getting darker. And I don't just mean come as in split in the sky. I mean, like, how about a little help? Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You're licking up the offerings in the trench, and we're just trying to get a little reprieve from the stemming the tide of evil. He's up there in the light. He's going up, and it just seems like we're going down. It's getting darker. But that's when we grow. That's when we grow. The richest soil is in the valleys, not always on the mountaintops. I'm going to follow instructions based on his faithfulness in the past, even if I'm going down and even if it's dark, because that's when he gets glory and can take me to the next level of usability. Verse 18. As they say down south, it gets worser. And the sea arose. That's the only up they're going. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. You ever pray for things to get better and they get worse? I mean, they're going down. It's getting dark. They got no clear mandate of the results. And now there's a storm. You ever fast and pray for things to get better and they get worse? I got the point sometime, I'm just going to stop praying because this is making it worse. Claim the promises and it gets worse. God, take this temptation away and it gets stronger. God, we need a break and we get broker. God, we need some light, and it gets darker. We need some relief, and it gets stormier. And we cry, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the God that my parents are talking about? Where is the God that my preachers are talking about? Where is the God that my peers are talking about? I'm praying that I get some light, and it's just getting darker and worse. And listen, listen, warning, warning, warning. That's where you can really get messed up in your head and in your heart. In the storm is where we lose touch. I'll tell you why a lot of our young people get sidetracked. They can't see them in the dark. And this is a serious burden of mine, saying this isn't working for me. And I'm afraid that a lot of times we're at fault. We give them the feeding of the 5,000, but we didn't tell them about the God that often hides himself. Go to John 20. Jump over there a minute. Just do this and you'll be blessed. Or maybe just do this and he wants to take you to a whole new level, and a bad storm's going to come. And you're not going to sense God from anything. John 20, verse 20. Check that. Exodus 14, Song of Solomon 2. Exodus 14, Song of Solomon 2. The God that hides himself. Exodus 14, 23. look at this. This, I always marveled at this. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. It's like he's hiding. Go, look at Song. Song 2. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Verse 9. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Just come out and show yourself. Isn't that what we want? Just come out and make it clear. That's not the God we serve. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The verse I wanted in John, theologians will tell me later, I'm paraphrasing real bad, you're blessed because you see, blessed are they that don't see and believe. And I know we take that in salvation, but what about in life? I'm going to row, I'm going to go down, I'm going to hunker down, I'm going to go by the mandate that you gave me, even though I can't sense your presence. The trial of your faith worketh patience. And young people, listen, the younger you are, the more you need. You need patience for the next level, forget about ministry, of life. A baby's cry. You know why lost men shake their babies to death? This man, don't let this go. Sometimes I thought, it's no wonder these 17-year-old kids that have babies, take their bed and stop crying. Now, we can't fathom that. But you're a young, lost man, 17 years old, had everything you ever wanted, including this girlfriend that's got a baby now, and you get frustrated. You can't understand it. You know what you need? You need patience for what's coming in marriage. You need patience what's coming in ministry. You need patience. And you know what helps in patience? Tribulation worketh patience. And so Paul said, bring it on. Bring it on. When I'm weak, then am I strong. Most gladly will I glory in the dark. Will I glory in the storm? Will I glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me? Sure doesn't seem like power. Elijah on the mountain, that seemed like power. And they're rowing. Rowing time is dark time. Rowing time is tempestuous time. Rowing time is proving time and growing time and trusting time. Mark chapter 6. What's he doing when I'm rowing? Are you there? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? It wasn't supposed to be like this. I was supposed to come to this church and my kids were going to be Peter and Paul and Barnabas. And instead they're Judas and Jezebel. And what happened? Who told you that? What are you doing when everything's falling apart? I'll show you what he's doing. Mark 6, 47. And when even was come, that's the beginning of the night, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. You know what he's doing? He's watching. And I don't get real excited in the fact that he's not doing, but I sure am comforted by the fact that he's watching. He sees. He knows. Oh, I wish I could just know what was in their heart. Sorry, check it. You can't get it, but he knows what's in their heart. Consolation. Back to John 6. I don't know if anyone's going through anything, but you better put this in your tape closet because you're going to need it. That CD, whatever, thumb drive. John 6:17. Now remember, when even was come, watch, 17. I'm sorry, 16. And when the even was now come, anyone know what time that is in the Jewish time? That's 6 p.m., okay? Supper time. His disciples went down to the sea and entered into the ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. So, okay, just get dark. And Jesus was come to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And so here's what you got. Verse 19, and when they had rowed about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were sore afraid. And over there in the other passage says, about the fourth watch of the night. So here's the watches. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., that's your first watch. 9 p.m. to midnight, that's your second watch. Midnight to 3 a.m., that's your third watch. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the fourth watch. You think that was a long night? I mean, he starts watching at 6 p.m. The storm comes up, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. Isn't that the way he seems to be sometimes? Hiding himself. And the darker it gets, the further he seems he's watching. He wants to prove you while you prove him, so that he can take you to that next level of trust. I know I've got a little personal, but when my son made the decision that this really wasn't for him, and let me say this, he was civil about it. He didn't go write blogs on the internet. I think someone said, are you going to go in such and such church? No, why? So they could say, oh, Camel Harry's son's going to that church. No. And we got a great relationship. But man, I almost cracked. Talk about storm. Talk about dark. Talk about where is God. And I was this close. And you know the story. Pastor Folk preached that message on Gaddy, and I was, let's put it this way, looking for work elsewhere because I feel like I had lost my leverage. I mean, we're kind of a, quote, family church, and now I, what authority do you have? What power do you have? And my kids cried and begged me not to leave their church. And time went on, and I recovered. And I tell you, being on mountaintops will help you, but being in valleys will help you more. And then one of my daughters, she made the same decision. And whereas the first one I was, take it away, do something, heal my son, for he is sore vexed. He's a lunatic, you know. heal my son. Finally, what's the use of praying 7 days just going out there not even saying nothing? Like Job, sitting in the ash heap. But when we got news that, because then I always thought, John, I said, what would you do if this was your daughter? Your son, he's going to be your daughter. And when it happened to my daughter, the first thing I said to God, I think I disappointed you last time. This time I'm going to show people how to get through it. Because I'm not going to forsake you. And I'm not just going to sit and beg and cry and be sidelined and be handicapped over this. I'm going to follow you. I don't know if that has anything to do with that one turning out better than the other situation. But I'll tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for us to give him glory and to prove him while he proves us in the dark storm. And it seems like he's never going to fix it. And he may never fix it. But brethren, I'm telling you, he'll fix you. And make you ready for the next level when it happens again. Brother Jay, when my mom was dying, 1987, I was saved in 86, man. It wasn't even a year, like 8 months. And oh, man, he was there for me. Other Christian, charismatic Christians at work just loving me. And God did some miracles, and I couldn't understand seeing my mother breathing her last breath 5,000 times. There she goes. I didn't know I'd need that someday. I didn't know I'd be standing next to a bed where it's your mom or your dad or your wife or your baby. You don't understand. Yes, I do. Get what you can get in the darkness. And if it doesn't get fixed, you'll get fixed. And he'll use you. If we fail in the day of adversity, our strength is small. And I think our strength and how we hold up in adversity is a measure of our future usability. Matthew 14, Mark 6. If you are visiting, give me another chance next week. We don't usually get this personal. By the way, if they're still breathing, there's hope. I'm not through praying. Life has a way. Listen, you that got children that are trying to find their way, life has a way of preaching a message that we could never dream of getting the impact from. Amen. And by the way, just that doesn't mean that, oh, if you dare go out from here, you're going to suffer. You might do better. And that might be worse. Matthew 14, verse 26. A huge, huge mistake to make in the storm. A huge mistake to make in the darkness. Verse 26. I think it's epidemic in the church. Same story. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now, you don't get this part in John 6. Saying, it's a spirit! And they cried out for fear. Mark chapter 6. Verse 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. Whew. About the fourth watch of the night, there it is. He cometh them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. Didn't we serve a strange God? Why? You just walk, just happy. I'm going for a walk. Where? On the water. Oh, look at those guys toiling, suffering over there. What about us? 48. Saw them toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary to them. About the fourth watch of the night, would have passed by. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. And they cried out, and they saw him, and they were troubled. And this is what I want you to get, man. This is what I want you to get. In the storm, in the darkness, in the trial, in the tempest, what they thought was a devil was God. You imagine making mistaken God for Satan? I think we do it all the time. Go to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You know, it's bad enough blaming the devil The devil. If there was no devil, we'd still be a mess with this flesh we live in, wouldn't we? But I'll tell you what a gross error is. Thinking it's the devil and it's God. You listen to Christians, you wouldn't know they ever read the Bible. I just marvel. Did you read the Bible? Numbers 22, verse 21. Awesome story. We can't go into all of it, but no man wrote this book. And Balaam rose up, verse 21 of Numbers 22, in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab, and God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. It's a girl besides. Woman, sorry. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. So now he's going through these two walls. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall. You would too if you seen a guy there with a sword. And crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn hither, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. He beaten on this ass. And the Lord, this is the Bible we're talking here. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam was so angry, man, listen to me, so angry. He's arguing with an ass now. Anger will make you messed up. Because thou hast mocked me, I would, if I had a sword, I'd kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee? And he said, no. It's not the ass, Balaam. It's not the ones around you, Balaam. I'm trying to grow you. I'm trying to slow you. I'm trying to show you. Oh, this dumbass! That's the Bible words, by the way, in Peter. Is being used by God in your life. You that are struggling with your families, would I have your ear as much as I do, knowing what you're going through with wayward children? I wouldn't for you. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying God blesses sin. I'm saying all things work together for good if we let them grow us. This guy's so far gone, he can't even see what the ass sees. This dumb spouse, this dumb government, this dumb pastor, this dumb boss, these dumb foreigners, everybody's dumb but us. Condemning the instruments that God is using in our very lives to grow us and to teach us, to bring us to the next level, to learn, Jason, that he is trustworthy even in the storms. In fact, that's when we see him best. Genesis 50. We already heard from this once. We weren't in cahoots. Joseph had this thing down. Joseph had this thing down. Lord, I always said, don't do me like you did Joseph, Lord, because I'm a different Joe. But this guy was amazing. Most of you know the story. We won't go into it. Genesis chapter 50, verse 18. Very familiar passage. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said to them, fear not, for I am the place of God. But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. We're talking about selling their brother into slavery. Might as well have signed his death certificate. But God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. The sinful, greedy, envious, murderous brothers that messed up my life. 17 years old, sold as a slave boy into Egypt. But you know what? I'm going to do my best as a slave boy in Egypt. Well, there's so much uncertainty in our world. What will we do if, fill in the blank, serve them in Egypt? I read that thing last week about us maybe going to war. I got thinking on the way home, I bet there'd be more people in the pews on Sunday morning if we get in a war. Oh, save souls. Oh, God, use us. Oh, God, bring people into the church. How's he going to do it? He said, it's what it is. I'm going to do my best for God in my dad's house, in Potiphar's house, in the prison house, in Pharaoh's house. I believe God is bigger than my storm, and the fact that he's watching and he knows is where I'm going to draw my comfort. Come what may, I'm going to praise him. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote 3/4 of your New Testament. And God uses this man to feed the world. Where? In a storm. Treated unfairly. Mark 6. Well, this will be the last passage. Mark 6. What are you going through? You've got to look past the donkeys. Why didn't they trust him? They just saw 5,000. He can't take care of a storm? Watch. For they all saw him, verse 50, were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up from them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, what? How did you see this, what he did? Why are you so amazed? Next verse, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know what they didn't do? They didn't look back. And man, when that heart's getting hard, and then when that fear is rising up, and when that hopelessness is on the horizon, look back and say, you brought me this far. I'm going to trust you for tomorrow. And that is where he gets the glory. And what's amazing is he was watching all the time. And he was right there, getting ready to do another miracle. Let's stand. Jason, you come.